الحديث coming to mind, إن الله لا يقبض العلم انتزاعا ينتزعه من العباد ولكن يقبض العلم بقبض العلماء حتى إذا لم يبق عالما اتخذ الناس رؤوسا جهالا فسئلوا فأفتوا بغير علم فضلوا وأضلوا, رواه البخاري. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prior to the advent of Qiyamah will take away knowledge. Now the Nabi of Allah said Allah will not take away the literal knowledge that you find in today's time. Because people would argue, you find encyclopedias upon encyclopedias about information with regards to Islam and other religions and so forth. We're not referring to that knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to the knowledge that is in the bosoms of ulama. So when Allah says He will take away knowledge, He will take away the people of knowledge, meaning the ulama, the scholars of knowledge, and Allah will take him towards his side. حَتَّى إِذَا لَمْ يَبْقِ عَالِمًا, to the extent you'll find a time will come where there'll be no genuine ulama who will give fatwa according to the sharia and give guidance to the people. اِتَّخَذَ النَّاسُ رُؤُوسًا جُهَالًا, people will make ignorant people and foolish people their leaders. And we find it in so many countries nowadays, the foolish ones are ruling. فَسُئِلُوا فَأَفْتُوا, and they will be asked with regards to the masail of deen and with regards to the technicalities of deen, and they will give verdicts. فَأَفْتَوْا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ, without any knowledge. And you find it nowadays, Sheikh Google and Apa Shamila is doing a wonderful job for many people. فَضَلُّوا وَأَضَلُّوا, they will be deviated and they will mislead other people. This is indeed a narration of Bukhari. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is slowly taking away the pious ones. We had Mullah Yunus Patel sahab rahmatullah alayhi going, Mullah Hakim Akhtar sahab rahmatullah alayhi going, we had Mullah Suleiman Ganchi, we had so many other scholars leaving our midst. We had Mullah Ibrahim Bianau leaving us. So these people are going, and slowly after them many other people are following. It is a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Qiyamah is drawing closer. And let us try and understand who we have in our midst. Those who are alive, let us benefit from them. An-ni'matu idha fuqidat urifat. When Ibrahim Mia rahmatullah alayhi is gone, but now we realize his true worth. But it's too late now. Now we need to implement what he has given us, inshallah. We play you a short snippet of Sheikh Ibrahim Mia rahmatullah alayhi, and thereafter we continue.
Come, my dear respected friends, we don't have that fear within ourselves that what is going to happen in the grave. We don't have that fear that on the day of Qiyamah when we are raised, what is the consternation of that day. To bring that fear in us, to bring that love in ourselves, we need to correct our heart. And if we do not correct that heart, my dear respected friends, our total body will be ruined. Like Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us in the hadith, that there is a piece of flesh in the body. If it is corrected, the whole body will be corrected. And if it is ruined, the whole body is ruined. Lo, that part is the heart. That heart feeds the mind and feeds the entire body with the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if that heart, which is the receptive of the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is soiled, what kind of nur do you expect to go into that container? We need to put all our efforts on our own, for our own sake, to cleanse that heart, my dear respected friends. No matter what people say, no matter what people comment, my dear respected friends, do what you think is right. Do what you think Allah has said. Do what you think that Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said. And my dear respected friends, the taste of the pudding is in the eating. You cannot look at a pudding and say that this is the taste until and when you have not tasted it. My dear respected friends, you don't know what it is. Until and when you don't make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will not know what its sweetness is, what its beauty is, and what it will change us to be, my dear respected friends.
That was Maulana Ibrahim Mia rahmatullah alayhi speaking on the topic of self-reformation. And like he said, أَلَا إِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ لَمُضْغَةٍ إِذَا صَلُحَتْ صَلُحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ. That there is a flesh in the body, that if it is reformed, then the entire body is reformed. And if that is not correct, then the entire body goes wrong. In the studio we've got with us Hafiz Muhammad Shafiq, also known as Ustad. Welcome to the program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana. And salam to the respected listeners of Radio Islam.
Mm-hmm. Mullah, your connection with Mullah Ibrahim Rahmatullah Ali?
Like my colleague Mawlana Muhammad Wadiwala, I will also start with the noble practice of our beloved Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali, that before commencing any action, he would always begin by correcting his intention. And tonight, our intention will be drawn from the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وكلن نقص عليك من أنباء الرسل ما نثبت به فؤادك وجاءك في هذه الحق وموعظة وذكرى للمؤمنين. The gist of this ayah is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also benefited from the stories of Anbiya alayhi salam that were revealed to him. The purpose tonight is not to praise a person, but simply to highlight some aspects which we can draw a lesson from that can strengthen our hearts. Having a chat with Hazrat Mullah Yahya Baham Sahib today, he mentioned an interesting incident. He says, then when a person goes to a court case, the family members always want closure. And it is hoped that tonight, through some of the incidents, we can bring some closure to this heart of ours, where it can strengthen our heart. If I look back at the period prior to 1990, before I connected with my mentor, Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith, Mullah Ibrahim Rahmatullah Alayhi, my life with regards to maybe practicing on the Sharia, the Sunnah was very, very basic. Alhamdulillah, and I say Alhamdulillah, when I connected to Hazrat Mullah Ibrahim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, it was his very unique quality of humility that would make an individual feel special and uniquely connected to him. And Mawlana, this was the very quality that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam displayed in his blessed interaction with Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala majma'in. Our Shaykh, Hazrat Mullah Ibrahim Sahib, was the embodiment of the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I can say at this juncture that a spark was ignited within me, that here I'm looking at an alim. It was the first talk that I attended in the Jamia Masjid in 1990. The program was approximately at about 11 o'clock. At that time, Hazrat used to have a late night program. And a few friends invited me. At that time, I had no inclination, neither did I understand what tasawwuf was. But in the first majlis that I sat, all I can say, that was electrifying. And I looked and told myself that this is an alim who was a total embodiment of humility, and he would be sufficient for my change and reformation in life. It was this spark of love that allowed me to submit myself on this journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once again, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that at this very beginning or inception of bay'ah, Hazrat Mullah Ibrahim Sahib needed a tutor to assist his children, that is Mullah Ishaq Sahib and Hafiz Muhammad Zakaria rahmatullah, with their schoolwork. Because Hazrat's late wife, Apa Anisa, who was quite ill at the time, may Allah fill her qabr with noor, she was unable to assist. So alhamdulillah, for almost close to between 6 to 7 years, I was afforded the opportunity to enter Hazrat's house on a daily basis to tutor Mullah Ishaq and Hafiz Zakaria. And I think that Hazrat's gratitude knew no bounds with the service rendered to him, that Hazrat expressed his appreciation to me both on the spiritual and worldly benefit. It was also during this early period that Hazrat very lovingly requested his children to address me as Ustad, and this name has subsequently stuck with me ever since. Alhamdulillah, it was Hazrat's deep love for me and a gesture of his great humility, and I'm going to emphasize on this great humility, Thus, with regards to matters pertaining to the advancement of the Khanka, Hazrat would continuously take this weak servant's mashwara and also would request that I do istikhara on important matters pertaining to the affairs of the institute. Though Hazrat was a sheikh of a great caliber, he never hesitated to seek the input of others, and this is briefly my relationship with Hazrat Mullah Ibrahim Sahab.
Amazing, amazing. The qualities that come into the fore is really, really heart-rendering. That a person had so many qualities and been such a great sheikh, yet he would humble himself in front of the people and in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Ubaydullah Boja, again, we learn the importance of tawadu and humility.
Ji, Murana, I think the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, man tawadha anillah rafa'ahu Allah. That person who humbles himself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala definitely elevates his stage, his rank, his stature, and people by and large have a great connection with him and they respect him so much so. And like Ustaji is saying, and we will hear the other callers, that this quality of humility, Mawlana, I think is something that we all need to bring in from the masjid. When a person goes into the masjid, you know, just to be humble to the next person that's next to you, to be approachable when you are there, that people must feel comfortable as a fellow musalli that is there, let alone that the family itself, how comfortable is our families with us that we have this quality of humbleness. I think if you look in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every sahabi felt he was most close to the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of the interaction and the Nabi of Allah coming down to the level of every sahabi as per his stature and his rank. And I think as believers, as followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as people who are affiliated to the Khanqa, it is something we all have to implement and we have to imbibe in the life of us on a day-to-day basis, Mawlana.
Very, very important. Also, the ayah of the Quran coming to mind, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Prophet of Allah saying that, O my Nabi, if had you been hard-hearted and had you been harsh in your approach, then people would have most definitely run away from you. But because the Nabi of Allah was an embodiment of akhlaq and he had a lot of characteristics within him, people would flock towards him. And thus we find in many, many of our pious people, like we're speaking about Mullah Ibrahim Mia Rahmatullah Alayhi this evening, and also many other scholars of deen. Mullah, we come back to you, Mullah Wadiwala. Share with us some of the qualities of Mullah Ibrahim Rahmatullah Alayhi.
As was mentioned, this great quality of humility. But if we look at Hazrat Mulana's life, then we find that there is one quality that overrode everything. And there is one quality on which he stressed the most. And that is ittiba'u sunnah. To follow the sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If maybe I may give one or two examples of this. That Hazrat's method of following the sunnah was such that he wouldn't make you aware or shout you or, you know, reprimand a person. But he'd just do the sunnah. That times people would fall into sunnah. It was as though it was like a second nature to him. That without realizing it, you were making amal on sunnah. Inshallah, they will speak on the Ramadans of Hazrat Mullah Ibrahim Sahab, Hazrat Muslih al-Ummah Sahab. But if I may just give one example, how Hazrat used to practice on sunnah without anybody realizing it. We find that for those, many have come and sit for itikaf with our Shaykh Hazrat Mawlana Ibrahim Sahib, rahmatullah alayh. And they will see that his tent always used to be on the left of the masjid, whether in Jamia Masjid, whether in the Khanqa Masjid, or as Sheikh went many places to Cape Town.
What was his connection with Jamia Masjid? Was he the Imam there? Or
initially, in the early 70s, when he came, he was the first Imam of Jamia Masjid.
Okay.
Thereafter, it was the time Hazrat Malana Mufti Qasim Sahib was also the Imam. Hazrat Malana Saber Ganji was also the Imam at that time. They were the first initial Ustads. And in fact, I was in class maybe 6 or 7 years. I used to study by him at that time in Jamia as well. Thereafter, Hazrat then, after teaching at Jamia, and that also Hazrat taught for many, many years, almost about 15 to 20 years. And he was the principal of Jamia Masjid. And then when the Khanqa was established, he moved in 1991 or 92 to the Khanqa Masjid. And from then, Hazrat remained in the Khanqa until the time of his demise. Hazrat had one very famous saying, and this is very, very important, but for ulama. It may seem a bit crude, but he used to say that till you don't put your bum in one place for 15 years, you won't see results. So if you are doing any khidmat of deen, or any person who is doing khidmat of deen, do it with steadfastness and regularity. Insha'Allah, Allah will show much results. As I was mentioning, that Hazrat used to sit in the i'tikaf, and always his tent used to be on the left. And then I realized, as I was coming and thinking about the program today, that this is exactly where the ustuwana is sarir. That is the ustuwana, the pillar where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's bed used to be of i'tikaf. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also in the Masjid al-Nabawi, his bed was on the left-hand side of the Masjid. Then about 4 or 5 years ago, Hazrat changed. Normally in South Africa, we generally have a habit that when we put up the tents for i'tikaf, it's normally a white sheet. And Hazrat said that no, it's got to be a canvas tent. And one day I asked Hazrat, why is it this canvas tent? And he said, no, because if we open the Fadail ya Ramadan, then you will see Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah has mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam set for i'tikaf in a Turkish tent, in a tent, using the word tent. And from that time he said, I want to make amal on the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Hazrat's general, this was his method. We know Mufti Boja also had mentioned about, and also you had mentioned, Alhamdulillah, Hazrat Mawlana, that we are passing away of many great ulama. It just last week I was in Ladysmith, and I happened to meet a brother by the name of Imran Kadwa. And he mentioned an amazing incident that he came to meet Hazrat now in Hazrat's last, just before he left for India. And he said, together with him was Hazrat Mullah Dawood Sahib, the Khalifa of Hazrat Mullah Yunus Patel Sahib. And he said they came to meet Hazrat Mullah Ibrahim Sahib. And as they were sitting there, there were a group of few people, and some drinks or some food was brought, as they bring for guests normally. So he said that because Mullah Dawood Sahib, who is his sheikh, was sitting next to him, He picked up the tray and he went to go offer it to Mullah Dawood Sahib. And immediately Sheikh told him, no, the person on your right, it is his right. You give it to him.
Subhanallah.
And at that moment, this thought came to my mind that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Al-Ayman fal-Ayman, that from the right, then you serve to the person to the right. And this hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu came to mind, that once he was with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and some drink was given to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Hazrat Ibn Abbas was sitting on the right of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, on the left was Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked Ibn Abbas, Hazrat Abdullah Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, who was a young boy at that time, that if you give me permission, then I will give to Hazrat Abu Bakr first. But Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself, fulfilling the command of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and this was his own noble sunnah, he said that the right is to the right, of whatever is to be given is to the person on your right. Ibn Abbas radiallahu at that time, this is also his love for Rasulullah. He said, O Nabi of Allah, if it was anybody else, I would have said, give to us Abu Bakr first. But it is drink that is coming from you. It is tabarruk that's coming directly from your lips. I don't give preference to anybody else. But immediately this thought came to mind as this person mentioned this incident.